It's always kind of scary to preach for more than 35 or 40 minutes or so. I'm thankful that it looks like everybody has survived the morning so far. And we're going to do some, we're shifting gears dramatically now in the Bible study hour away from thinking about the church and what we want it to look like and stuff like that, to doing some Bible study in terms of thinking about how we as God's people can be used in the lives of other folks around us. Ultimately, the reason we exist, the purpose for which we want to do this, is to impact our community for God's glory. And we want to be able to do that. So we want to think about specifically about how to do that. I need a couple people to look up two passages of Scripture for me. Austin, could you look at Romans chapter 12? Go in the direction of Romans 12. And let's see. Mike, are you open to looking at Hebrews chapter 13 for me back there, please? Okay. Mike, Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. Would you read those for us, please?
Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels.
Okay. And Romans chapter 12, verses 10 through 13, Austin. 10 through 13.
Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality.
In the New Testament, hospitality was a distinctive mark of Christians and the Christian community. Those two verses are commands that seem to indicate hospitality as being an important part of what was going on. And even pagan historians tell in their writings talk about the hospitality of Christians in the first three centuries. So when we talk about, when you hear the word hospitality, what comes to mind? What do you think of when you think, when you hear hospitality?
Potluck.
Potluck. What'd you say, Mama?
Eating.
Eating. Food. What else? Anything else come to mind? Can you think, what? Those
open,
first.
An open door.
Okay.
Fellowship.
An open door. Fellowship.
Sweet tea.
Sweet tea. You know, I have told y'all one of the great joys of my life is being back in a town where they actually know what sweet tea is.
Paul, this is probably not necessarily a good association right now, especially right now, but maybe you can use this as a foil or something, and that's Martha Stewart.
Martha Stewart. Well, that, anything else? Okay.
Brenda.
Brenda. Now that's something when you can talk about a concept and attach somebody's name to it, right? Like when I say greatness, you think of. There you go. Excellent. More than one of the authors that I mentioned to you who has written about about hospitality being a mark of the Christian community in the past says that it's beginning to be something that's a forgotten Christian virtue, that hospitality is almost forgotten. Now, in the South, that may be a little different, but even here, I bet that's true. Now, but why do you think that might be? Why do you think that hospitality is sort of falling by the wayside? What are some of the barriers?
Martha Stewart.
Martha Stewart.
Thank you, Debbie.
That's bad. I think we become more selfish. And
Okay, so what did you say about space?
Think about our own space more instead of others' needs.
What do you think has happened architecturally that communicates that? Huge master bedrooms, small living spaces. What else has happened? This hasn't happened as much here, but it is on a lot of the new houses that we looked at when we came in. What are some things that are disappearing on houses?
Front porches.
Yeah.
Dining rooms.
Yeah. So the I think the advent of the garage door opener. has allowed us, and garages are, I've noticed this a lot in Cape Coral, garages are prominent up front and the entrance to the house is set back like this. So you drive into your house, push the button, close the door, and in your house and nobody else is around. So we have this concept of our own space and a seclusion from people that has sort of have developed some barriers to hospitality. We don't like people coming on us unannounced or uninvited. That's a part of our culture. I can remember in the neighborhood where I grew up, people just kind of walked around the neighborhood at night and dropped into your house and you had some sweet tea. People like Brenda always had muffins ready. So there was something going on like that all the time.
Cities used to have sidewalks. And houses, used to be oriented front, and now they're oriented to the back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you can go out and sit on your back deck in your... it's important to say, not bad to have one of those. I'm pretty excited about our back porch and the woods and the fact, the house we lived in before, we could hear the conversations in every house around us. They were so close. But yet, when we do that, when we have a back porch and we're separated, it cuts down on the interaction, doesn't it? So it's kind of a blessing and a curse. Anyway, as you think about that, I guess what we want to try to do is call ourselves back to some of those things and work, understand that our culture is sort of saturating us with a stay by yourself, do your own thing, avoid people's lives, don't get involved, just take care of yourself kind of mentality. And if we're going to be the church that seems to be indicated in the New Testament, we're going to have to kind of swim upstream against that culture. And so we want to think about some ways to do that. And one important kind of caveat I want to put in here is that if we feel unprepared, unequipped, less than we should be to accomplish these things well, you need to know that everybody, I think, is in that boat. Everybody's in the process of trying to minister to other people and encourage other people and help them in the midst of their own need to be ministered to and helped. So, honestly, Kathy is the hospitable one at our house. I could get a book and go in a corner someplace and read and just be happy as a clam. So I have my own problems to work through, my own sin to repent of. And I want you to know that I don't think we're going to talk about thinking about how to help each other move past some of those things and be involved in each other's lives, even as we have some needs in our own lives. I hope that makes sense. Anyway, let's press on here and understand some things about Christian brotherhood. What is it that binds us together anyway? What is it that makes us... connected. I bet there's an eraser in this box. Turn over to John chapter 1, verse 10 with me. Would you please? John chapter 1, verse 10. Mary Carol, do you have that?
What is it?
John chapter 1, verse 10. Would you read that for me, please?
He was in the world, and through the world was made through him, and the world did not recognize
him. Okay. And then, if you look down to verse 12, as you think about God's involvement in the world and connection with the world, through what opportunity or power did we come into connection with Him? Who was the one who made that possible? Who gave the right to become? I'm asking everybody now, not Mary Carolyn. Who gave the right to become children of God?
Christ.
Christ did. So we're brought into a relationship with Christ. We're called the children of God by the power of God. He's the one that made us or brought us into that relationship. And because we are brothers and sisters with Christ first, then we are brothers and sisters with each other. Because we're brought into a union with Him by His power, then we're connected with each other as a result of that. So our connection as Christians is first with Christ. And I guess part of the point is that if we're waiting on all of our personal interests and desires and temperaments and talents and gifts to connect us, it's not going to happen. The thing that intersects with all of these things is Christ. And that's what, it's my union with Christ that connects me with Ryan and with Austin and Amanda and Tom and Brooke. Okay? So as we understand that it's our union with Christ together that's connecting us together, that begins to help us understand this concept of being bound together and of loving one another. And that's the concept of Christian brotherhood. It's not a brotherhood of homeschoolers or a brotherhood of gun lovers, you know, NRA members, or a brotherhood of whatever other kind of subset of our society you want to put together that makes a church. But it's all those kinds of people being brought together and connected to each other by Christ, because He's what binds us together. And of all the terms that are used in the New Testament to talk about us, what do you suppose might be some of the most familiar and most common terms that are used to speak about Christians? It's not really a fair question, but it involves you. What kind of terms do you think are used in the New Testament to speak to the Christian community? Mama Judy says brethren. Any others? Sisters and brothers. About 300 plus times in the New Testament, those words are used. So this concept of family is really strong in the New Testament. And that's how God intends for us to be expressing ourselves. Now, what we're going to do next, children, you'll notice there's a big section, a chunk of empty space on your notes. And if you don't like to take notes or write things down, maybe you could draw a picture of one of these things. Because we want to talk about how this brotherhood is practically expressed in the New Testament. And I'd like to give several people some different passages of Scripture to look up. So, Amanda, could you look at Romans 16:16 for me? Okay. And Brooke, would you look at Acts 2:44-45? Please, ma'am. Let's see. David, how about Romans chapter 16, verse 5? Jonathan, Jude, verse 12. Thank you for not asking me what chapter. That's probably what I would have asked, though. Let's see. Jonathan? 1 Timothy chapter 5. And I've got too broad a passage here. I need to give you a... verses 3 and 4. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 3 and 4.
Which verse was it in Romans 16?
Romans 16, 5, David. Let's see. Who else haven't I touched yet? Masha, you want to read one? 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. Okay, got all those? And what I'd like for you to look to look for or listen for in these passages as they're being read, what are some of the practical expressions of Christianity and of hospitality and family relationship that's being expressed there, okay? Romans 16, 16. Who has that? Okay.
Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ in Greece.
Okay. How what's that first expression? Greeting one another how?
With a kiss.
Okay. Now that may be a cultural thing, right? And I think we talked about that as we looked through Romans. But there you can definitely think about greetings and the way that we warmly welcome one another and so forth and so on. Okay? Acts chapter 2, verses 44 and 45. Who is that? Okay. Okay, what's that expression? Anybody can answer, not just the reader.
Sharing.
Sharing what?
Whatever.
Okay. Personal possessions, right? And I pressed you on that a little bit because this sharing can mean getting together and talking if we're not careful. You know, let me share with you an idea. So sharing personal possessions was a huge thing in the first century church. And we've talked a lot about that already. And obviously, again, remember, we're not talking about communism, but when we have needs, we need to meet those with one another. Who has Romans 16:5? Is that you, David? Okay. Now, where was that church meeting? In a house. Yeah. So, meeting together in houses. That's a picture of a warmth and an intimacy and of coming together and of opening homes to one another for different kinds of things. Jude chapter 12. I think that's Jonathan. Jude, verse 12.
These are the men who are hidden reefs in your love feast when they feast with you without fear, caring for themselves. Clouds without water, carried along by men. Autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted.
A whole lot more going on in that verse than what we're looking for. But what were they doing in the first part of that verse?
Feasting.
Feasting, yeah. And glory. Aren't you glad that's a part of fellowship? eating together. Those practical expressions. There's something about you sitting down across the table from me and eating food and us drinking a Coke together or something like that that just provides a connection that we can't have with anybody else. That's an intimate kind of thing. That's why when I go in a restaurant, I don't sit down at somebody else's table and eat with them. You know, I don't just go sit down with another family and start chewing the fat and talking with them. Yeah, what y'all having? That's a barrier there for me. That's too intimate. You understand? 1 Timothy chapter 5. Is that Jonathan? Okay.
Verses what?
I think I said 2 and 3.
2 and 3?
Yes. 1 Timothy 5, 2 and 3.
Older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, with all purity. Honor with widows who are really widows.
Okay. Okay. What's going on in that passage? Yeah, and in particular, what group of needy people, Sue Ellen? Yeah, caring for widows. That's a... And upset babies, too. So there's a... Don't rush, baby. Take your time. There's a real sense of caring for people, but in that passage, he's talking particularly in about the widows, isn't he? So there's some folks that we're to be looking out after in our congregation, taking care of. 2 Corinthians, did I give 2 Corinthians chapter 2 to anybody? Well, you might want to just jot down your page, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's look over there real quickly together. I think I skipped right past that one. This is a long little section, 2 Corinthians 2. You really kind of have to look at verses 1 through 11. But I determined this for my own sake, that I would not come to you in sorrow again. For if I cause you sorrow, who then makes me glad but the one whom I made sorrowful? This is the very thing I wrote to you, so that when I came, I would not have sorrow from those who ought to make me rejoice, having confidence in you all that my joy would be the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote to you with many tears, not so that you would be made sorrowful, but that you might know the love which I especially have for you. And he goes on down in verse 6, sufficient for such a one is this punishment which was inflicted by the majority. And he's referring to discipline on a sinning member in the family. And so he's saying what you've done to take care of this is sufficient, and he's longing for a joy again of being reunited with them in right relationships and so forth. So having to do that causes sorrow, but it's also an expression of love for the other members of the family. And so discipline falls in there as well. Did I give you Romans chapter 14, Romans 14, verse 15? Is that the one I gave to you, Masha?
No, you gave me 1 Timothy.
Okay, 1 Timothy, I'm sorry. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2.
Now the overseer must be above reproach. The husband of but one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to...
Excellent. Lots of big words in there. You did a good job. And one of the things, that's a command to the elders, is that they ought to be hospitable. So, hospitable. I don't know how to spell that. How to spell that exactly.
You make it messy enough so we're not sure if you missed that.
It's a trick I learned from my father. Really smart, but couldn't spell a lick. those are some pictures then, some portraits of how that hospitality begins to be expressed in our lives. And as we have a Christian brotherhood with one another, you know, and we're thinking in terms of kind of inside the body and how that ought to be expressing itself in providing for each other and caring for each other and so forth. And now, as we go along through the next few weeks, then how we can express that outwards. You know, and there's just one other thing that, I don't have a passage for this, this is just a quote from C.S. Lewis, that reminds us that these Christians lived in a foreign and hostile and foreign land for all practical purposes. In many situations, the only reason these little pockets of Christians survived was their dependence on each other. And beloved, the only reason that people survive the Christian life is because of connection with brothers and sisters in Christ. I can't tell you how many people I've seen drift away and go off into different things because they weren't being connected to the body. And, you know, the body's fault, their fault, whoever's fault, when that connection doesn't take place, then there's going to be a loss of life in a real sense. So that concept of Christian brotherhood, of being connected with Christ since we're being connected with Christ, we're connected with each other. And then that ought to begin to express itself in some particular practical kind of ways is very real. But let's talk about understanding Christian love next. If our family connection springs from our union with Christ, then our love for each other springs from the same source. If our family connection springs from our union with Christ, then our love for each other springs from the same source. Let's look at John chapter 13, verse 34. Not 1 John, but John. John chapter 13, verse 34. Sue Ellen, would you read that for me? Verses 34 and 35, please. John 13.
Okay, 13, what?
13, 34 and 35. That's amazing, isn't it? You like get caught. It's the same thing as when the waitress walks up just after you've taken a big bite of casserole and says, "Need anything?" Couldn't ask if you wanted. John 13, verses 34 and 35.
A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another.
Okay. And just one more, 1 Thessalonians. Let's all look together there. 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Stan, would you read that for me? 1 Thessalonians 4, 9 and 10.
Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more.
Now, evidently, love expresses itself. We've talked about these things, but I want us to get even more, I guess, practical, or consider in your memory ways that the body of Christ has loved you in the past. I want to just churn your memory in thinking about that. Kathy and I were talking about this some one night this week when we went out to eat, and remembering the ways that our church in Florida expressed their love to us. One day I was coming home from a conference, and between the Tampa airport and our home in Fort Myers, our van stopped working. The engine would run, and you'd press the gas, and it went nowhere. The transmission had died. And so I'm sitting on the side of the road, eating a Chick-fil-A sandwich, and nowhere to go. And I called one of the guys in our church, and he got in his truck and came and got me. And within a couple of weeks, different individuals in our church had found out about this, and they sent us cards with money in it so we could fix our transmission. You know, that was just one of those ways of an expression of love. And people, you know, I haven't bought a car in about 10 or 11 years. Somebody gave us both the cars we were driving for the last 10 years, just out of kindness and, I guess, pity for a poor preacher. But you know, think about it. If you've had kids, people give you hand-me-down clothes and stuff like that. People have provided for our kids to have places to sleep. We've had grandparents that provided things and gave us beds, and you just can go on and on and on thinking about ways that the body has expressed its love for you. And hopefully, it just thinking about that sort of churns up a little bit of excitement about what the body can be in terms of ministering to each other and caring for each other and thinking about practical expressions of love. And we could list just dozens of things that you guys did for us in getting us here. And, you know, meeting us, coming to the house. When I came up here looking for a house, y'all housed us and fed us and did things for us and provided for us. And folks have just given and done things for us over and over and over again, just as expressions of the love of Christ. And so I think that we can agree that as we're thinking about all these things, that love ought to permeate our house, love ought to permeate our lives and the things that we do. And what we're specifically more practically thinking about today is that hospitality ought to be one way that we show that. It's just a way for us to communicate that love that we can have for one another and the provision we want to make for each other. That's the last little fill in the blank on your page if you care. One way we can express our love for one another is through hospitality. We wonder sometimes, well, I don't have money to give to somebody, or I don't have a car to give away, or I don't have a house that you can put 50 people in, or I don't have a lot of food, or I can't cook a lick, so taking a meal to you might be harmful to you, you know. So you start thinking about those things, and yet we can flesh out our love by sharing what we do have. Our homes and our resources and our finances and all that we have need to be available so that God can use that. So that's kind of a starting point, a pinprick, if you will, of imagination. Austin?
I wanted to share this is just an encouraging story talking about community and love between us, brothers and sisters. This name of brothers, several guys who graduated from Auburn who are in a very spiritually dark area of East Asia right now. There's a handful of them, there's about four or five of them out there. And where they are, they've never seen any process of cultivation or anything like this. So it's just driving things to be. And these guys are in the university overseas there, and they were actually not expecting to see people to come to know Christ within the year, and they had started to, several people came to know Christ within 6 months of them being there, and these guys did not speak a lick of the language or anything like that, and once they started, asking or speaking to them, what drew you, to want to become a Christian? And they said, well, it's the love that y'all showed for each other. Hmm. And how y'all love each other. That's what got me interested. That's why I wanted to become a part of this.
Yeah.
And, these guys, just these four guys, that's it. they were able to, one, really depend on each other, but two, because of that love that they had for each other.
Mm-hmm. That's really amazing. And I think people in our neighborhoods and in our dorms or in our apartment complex or the place where we work, it's all those places where we go, we'll watch how we treat each other and how we respond to each other, how we forgive, how we repent, how we share, and so forth. So those are things that we can do that just make immediate bonds. And, I would just say that Everett and Lori have already done this with us, too. They let us come over to their house the other night and made coffee for us, and we sat around and laughed and talked, watched videos of Masha before she came to America. And so now we have a bond with them that we couldn't have had any other way. And it was just so wonderful to be in their home and to hang out where they hang out. Now when we pray for them, we can vision them in their, in their house doing their thing and so forth. And that was a wonderful blessing for us. Thank y'all for doing that for us and inviting us into your home. And that's true of all of you guys who have done that for us and made provision for us. We're going to think more practically even in the next few weeks about how we can be involved in people's lives. And we want to not just be our own little huddled group. We want to love each other and care for each other, but then we also want to see the gospel impacting people's lives around us. And think about how we can do that and be involved in people's lives in a significant way. Okay? So that's kind of where we're heading over the next few weeks. Questions or other comments or additions?
I'm just going to share something similar to what Austin shared. I remember hearing a testimony of a family that was converted because their neighbor had been sick, or there was some kind of event in their family, in their lives, that meant that people from their church were coming over, bringing meals to them, mm-hmm. and they were just so, dumbfounded by all these people just constantly coming in and out of their house, bringing meals and showing love to them, and they were seeing this as their as neighbors. They thought, wow, something's going on there, and they began inquiring, and they were ultimately converted because of this, the testimony of this church just showing love and ministering to this family in need.
Mm-hmm. It's a great opportunity for us, and it's one of the costliest, easy things to do. Yes, sir.
I think that this group has showed a tremendous amount of love and respect and reaching out for our children. And even to us, we came down here and Tom and Brenda opened their home, never even met us, didn't know anything. They opened their home for us and we stayed in their home. And they let me stay in their home.
Yes, indeed. Well, we don't know all of what God has in store for us, but it's going to be fun doing this together. And may God give us grace to love people like Christ loves us. Okay, let's pray together, and we'll press on with the rest of the day. God, we do thank you for your goodness to us through Christ. We thank you for the uncommon bond that you have created between us because of Christ. And we pray that to the glory of Christ we might practice and flesh out the love that you have for us as we interact with each other and as we do things in our communities and so forth. Help us, I pray, O God, to be a people who are unusual, that call attention to ourselves by our hospitality. And God, we can do this because we remember that all that we have, whatever that is, belongs to you, and that we are stewards of it simply to be using it for your glory. Lord, how easy it is to pray that prayer, to say it with our mouths, but how difficult sometimes to set our selfishness aside. Lord, I know that I am chief among those who love their own time and privacy and space. And so I pray that you would help us, O God, to move beyond some of those things and to be marked as belonging to you and not to ourselves. For your glory and honor, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.